We're on Chaf Aleph, Omer Aleph, three lines up from the bottom, Omer Rav Huna. Once we've dealt with the various oils and wicks, those that can be used for Ner Shabbos, those that are disqualified for Ner Shabbos, Gemara now enters into a sugya about Shmonim and Psilos for Ner Chanukah. Omer Rav Huna, Psilos u'Shmonim Shomru Chachomim Ein Madlikim Ben B'Shabbos. Those oils and wicks that were disqualified for use for their Shabbos because Einon Nechezes Bi'or Yofet, the flame will not rise in a beautiful way, in a sufficient way, strong enough, is Ein Madlikim Bahem B'Chanukah Bein B'Leil Shabbos Shel Chanukah Bein B'Chol. Omer Rava my time with Rav Huna Kasover Kofsa Zakukla. According to Rav Huna, we disqualify these oils and wicks for use on Chanukah because, as Rav explains, Rav Huna, if the light goes out, the light of Ner Chanukah is extinguished, then he has to rekindle the light. It means that the mitzvah is not just the Ma'is Hadlaka, but it's the Ner Doluk. And the Chachamim set up a shir, a certain amount of time, a minimum amount of time, we'll call it a half hour, and the Ner has to be dulled for that amount of time. If it goes out, then he has to rekindle the light. And therefore, l'chatchila, we want to guarantee that he uses the proper, healthy, reliable oils and wicks that will light well, because if not, we're afraid that maybe it'll go out, and maybe he won't be, Rashi says, he won't be careful about relighting them. In a sense, it sounds like a sfek sfeika. Number one, perhaps the wicks and the oils will not hold the flame long enough for that shear of zman. And secondly, in the event that it goes out, he won't rekindle the light. That's number one. But number two, says Rava, in explaining Rav Huna, Umutul ishtamish li'ora. You're allowed to benefit from the light of the Ner Chanukah. For his personal purposes, that's called litzorcha. He could read, he could do malacha. And therefore, on the night of Shabbos, he's not allowed to light Neros Chanukah with these inferior oils and wicks, which don't light well, because while he's using them, and he's allowed to use them on Shabbos, he might violate the malacha of Hatoya Saner, which means that the oil is in the receptacle. He might be tempted, without thinking, b'shogeg, to tip the oil, to tip the receptacle, the ner, in such a way that the oil comes down, and now he'll be able to see the light. And then he violates Meleches Havara. That's the way Rashi interprets this sugya. Now, the strange thing is that if you've already disqualified these neros for Ner Chanukah, and that's during the weekday, why do you need an additional exclusion on the Shabbos of Chanukah? Why not just go back to the first reasoning of Rava, which means that we disqualified these oils and wicks, and you're not allowed to use them? That alone should be sufficient to explain Chanukah, both Bechol and B'Shabbos. I mean, there's no reason why on Shabbos we should allow these oils and wicks if Kovsa Zokakla. And the possibility exists that maybe Kovsa Zokakla is only an issue of Kiyum HaMitzvah. You want to know whether he fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, that's number one. But on Shabbos, in addition to the question of Kiyum HaMitzvah, did he achieve the mitzvah, did he not? You have another issue here of the Isur of Shemayata Saner. But that's a little bit of a difficult approach because now you're talking about whether he's allowed to use the Ner or he's not allowed to use the Ner. I mean, doesn't he realize that he's not Yotzi the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And therefore, this Ner on Shabbos of Chanukah becomes like any other Ner. And then you go into the general halachas of Ner Shabbos. It has nothing to do with whether Chanukah candles are mutar b'hanah or asur b'hanah. Perhaps we can add another element here, that maybe kavsa zakikla means that lechatchila, this is what he'd have to do. It could be that the evidence would be yotzei nerchak. So let's say, for example, he only has these inferior wicks and oils. That's all he has in his stock. Maybe he could be yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah b'di'evid. There's not an absolute psul in the ner. So lechatchila, we don't want him to use such a ner because of kavs zoklok. He might be misrashel. He might be careless about recandling it in the event that it goes out. But let's say he would light with these candles and it didn't go out. So he'd be yotze. Or let's say, even if it would go out, maybe he would be yotze because of the adlok itself. Or alternatively, you can call him an onus on the fact that he couldn't rekindle it. On Leil Shabbos, for sure he's an onus that he can't rekindle it because of the iser of Havar B'Shabbos. So in such a scenario, where that's the only oil that he has, then we're not being koveya an absolute psul, but we're saying that lechatchila should avoid those shmonim and psilos. But b'di'evad would be yotze. But on Leil Shabbos, he has an additional problem of hatoya. That's the Isur Shabbos. Now again, if we only had the second reason of mutal l'shtamish li'ora, and there's a chashash of hatoya, because he's using the Ner and it starts flickering and so forth and so on, that would only exclude Ner Chanukah on Shabbos in these cases of the inferior oils and wicks. But it doesn't tell me a thing about the weekday. Maybe during the weekday where there's no issue of Hatoya, maybe we could allow him to use them, these inferior oils, etc., and we'll rely on him that in event that it goes out, he will rekindle them. Now, one question we could ask here, why didn't Rav Huna just simply say, Ein madlikim behem b'chanukah, and just leave out Shabbos, correct? Wouldn't we know that this includes Shabbos as well? Because if he can't use these wicks during the weekday of Chanukah, then certainly he can't use it on Shabbos. But the answer is that Rav Huna emphasized bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos, and that's what Rav was medayik from Rav Huna's language, that in Shabbos there's an additional reason why we tell him that he cannot use these neros for Chanukah. And that's not only the Chanukah issue, but the Shabbos issue of Shemiyates HaNer. And from the fact that Rav Huna prohibited specifically because of Shabbos, it means that he must be holding Mutal L'shtamish Li'ora. And we get another Chiddush about Ner Chanukah, because again, if it was also L'shtamish Li'ora, then we wouldn't have a Chashash of Shemiyates. All this is Rav Huna. Now we're up to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda Omar, Madlikin Bahem Bechol Avalo Bilel Shabbos. So Rav Huna allows for these Shmonim and Psilos that are of inferior quality, that we would, let's exclude them for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, but he validates them for the use of Ner Chanukah. Kasava Rav Chisda holds Kavsa. Here we turn to Daf Chaf Aleph on the base. Ein Zakukla. In other words, when in the worst case scenario, because of the inferior nature of these oils and wicks, they go out, he doesn't have a chiyuv to rekindle the light. So even if you're afraid of his being Misrashel, and he takes his, he takes a laid back attitude, doesn't rekindle the Ner Chanukah, he was Yotze already. Again, one could ask, Rav Chisda Lechora would be Modeh that Ner Chanukah has to light a certain minimum amount of time, a half an hour, let's say. So if that be the case, then we should certainly prohibit the use of these inferior oils, because maybe the Ner go out before it's Dalek in the Shir. So this question is actually addressed by the Beis HaLevi, and he answers that the Chashash of Shem Yechabe is, according to Rav Chisda, a chashash rachok. It's not something that we anticipate that the light will go out within a half hour. According to Rav Huna, holds kavsa zokakla, he has to rekindle it, then we're afraid that maybe he'll be misrashel. But according to Rav Chisda, on the other hand, who says he doesn't have to rekindle it if it goes out, then we don't have to be worried about this statistically minimum possibility, very limited possibility that it would go out. And then Mutal Shtamish Li'ora, he agrees, Rav Chisda, to Rav Huna's position that you're allowed to benefit from the light of a Ner Chanukah, you could do Malacha to the light. And therefore, Rav Chisda says that Madlikim Ebechol Avalo B'Leil Shabbos, that on Leil Shabbos you're not allowed to use these inferior oils because of the problem of Shemayata. He might be shogeg, tip over the receptacle, and therefore he would violate the Iser Havara on Shabbos, b'shogeg, Melechas Havara. And really, you can ask whether or not he be yotze b'dievid the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because these Shmonim and Psilos are kosher for Ner Chanukah, according to Rav Chisda. On Leil Shabbos, there's an Iser Shabbos. Is that Mafkia? Does that completely null and void his key of mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Could we have a situation, according to Rav Chisda, where on the one hand he was in violation of Shabbos, but on the other hand he did fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Or are we going to say that because of the Iser Ner Chanukah, the Iser of Shabbos, therefore on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah he's not Yotz the mitzvah of Chanukah, it's not even a Ner Chanukah, or maybe it's a kind of a mitzvah bav avera? Now we have a third opinion about these inferior oils and wicks. Om Rabbi Chisda, Om Rabbi Zera, Om Rabbi Masna, the Amri Le others say Om Rabbi Zera, Om Rav. Psilos ushmonim shomru chachomim madlikim b'shabbos, madlikim b'chanukah bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. That those inferior oils, which, here's the paradox, which are excluded from their Shabbos, can be used on Shabbos Chanukah. This is like one Shabbos in the whole year when these inferior oils are kosher for their Shabbos. Oh, Rav Yirmi, my time at the Rav. How could Rav possibly say that he could use these inferior oils on the Shabbos of Chanukah? What about the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? So the answer is that Kovsa ain't Zokaglot. He accepts the Shita of Rav Chiz that we saw before, that you can use these inferior oils for Chol, for the weekday of Chanukah, the kosher for Ner Chanukah. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, also Lishtamish Li'or, because this Or is coming from an Ner Chanukah, he's not allowed to use the Or and benefit from his Haneros Halol. We say Kodesh, remember, in our Pizmon of Haneros Halol, which is based on a Brisa. So therefore, here's the answer to our paradox. You're allowed to light with these inferior oils on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah because we don't have a Chashash of Shemayata Saner. Now, we can ask two questions. Why, number one, why is it also Lishtamish Lior? So we said Kodesh Haim, that's one understanding. But usually we don't give the status to a mitzvah Kodesh, Kedusha. It's not Tashmishi Kedusha, it's Tashmishi Mitzvah. And the other possibility is what's called Hekera. That Chachamim were Mesake Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And it has to be clear that this Ner is not for my personal purposes. And therefore, they said you're not allowed to use it for your personal purposes. So it would be absolutely clear that this is designated for the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes of Ner Chanukah. The Rashba says that they were mesaken Ner Chanukah Zecher LeNes, and it's reminiscent or a replacement, a reminder of the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash in the Norah, where the great miracle took place when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash. So Masake Ner Chanukah, that should be similar and have the dinim of Ner Shebemikdash. And just like Ner Shebemikdash is Kodesh, you're not allowed to enjoy any sort of benefit from the light of the Ner, of the menorah in the Mikdash, in the Heichal. So too the Chachamim imposed on the humble Ner Chanukah the same status of the Ner Shebemikdash. And it has the din of Kedusha, and you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah for your own personal purposes, just like you're not allowed to use the Ner Shebemikdash for your personal purposes. And you'll see this also in the Baal HaMor at the beginning of Perek Bamei Madlikin. Another possibility here is to say that using the light of an Ner Chanukah would be Bizui Mitzvah. And that's going to be a Sugya Mitzvah that we'll get to soon, the Sugya Bizui Mitzvah. Fine, so it comes out according to Rav Yirmiyah's interpretation of Rav, or of Masna, that we have on the one hand the halach of kavsa, kavsa in zakkaklo, and therefore these inferior oils are kosher for Ner Chanukah during the week. And on Shabbos, you have no problem of an isur, because of there's no problem of violating the isur of shemayata, because asul shtamish liora. Now, let's just make one point here. When we interpret the Shita, what happens with the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? I mean, the whole week, the whole year long, on every Shabbos, this is an invalid and a disqualified Ner Shabbos. All of a sudden, on Chanukah, we're going to say Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And it could be possible that what the Gemara means is, for sure he's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. We're not going to make a distinction between the Shabbos candles of Chanukah and the Shabbos candles the whole year long. But the Gemara wants to emphasize that as far as the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is concerned, he fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, this despite the fact that you might have suggested that he invalidates the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because he violates the Isha Shabbos. Like we said before, you know, if you're not allowed to light this Ner, albeit for the reason of Shabbos, then it's not a valid Kiyuma mitzvah for Ner Chanukah. So Kamash Malon, Rav Masna or Rav wants to teach me that he's Yotzi the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because there's no Isur Shabbos. Now, as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, well, for that he'll need to fulfill, or his wife will fulfill, the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos with the proper oils and wicks. Amru Akami Dabai, the Gemara says that when this explanation of Rav Yirmiyah was presented to Abaye, Mishmei the Rav Yirmiyah, in the name of Rav Yirmiyah, Velo Kibla, and Abaye did not accept this interpretation. In other words, he didn't want to rely on Rav Yirmiyah. Now, why didn't he rely on Rav Yirmiyah? It's not clear. Maybe he didn't want to rely on this kula of Rav Yirmiyah that comes saying Zakkakla. He also Ravin, but Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amru Rabbanan, the Rabbanan gave this explanation of Rav Yirmiyah, Kami Dabai, Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, and here Ravin, who is one of the two great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael to transmit the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan in Bavel, and Kibla. And this time, Abai accepted it. He relied on Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't want to rely on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Omar, Abai made the following declaration. Izakai Gemirte Lishmaita Meikara. He sort of criticized himself, and he said that if he was Zocha, he would have accepted this Shita when he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And then I would have been Kovea Rav's Halacha in my teaching of Torah. So Gemara says Vagamra, but at the end of the day, he did accept Rav's opinion based on Ravin's transmission from Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the difference if he would have taught it, if he would have taught this halacha and transmitted it earlier or later? Nafkimini says Ligirsa Diyankisa. And he says the fine, there's a special mila, a special added advantage to that which we learn in our youth. When a person learns something in his young years, then it sticks. It remains engraved, so to speak, in his memory bank. Because when a person learns something in his youth, it really makes an impression. But he learns something in his older years, then there's a more of a tendency, a likelihood that he'll forget it. And the word girs itself, which is an Aramaic word, means shinun, to review it over and over again so that you remember it. And therefore, Abai says, had he been zocha, he would have learned this halacha and accepted it in his youth. That's apparently when he heard it in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. But only later on in his older years did he accept it when he heard it from Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So he didn't have that advantage of Girsa Diyankas. Now the Gemara is going to ask on all the explanations that we gave for the dinim of Rav and Rav Chisda. Vikovsa ein zakikla. Are you telling me Rav, and before Rav and the Gemara had said it in the name of Rav Chisda, the way that we explained Rav Chisda, that kovsa ein zakikla, Ureminu, will ask a kash from a brice. So the brice says, mitzvah sa, the zman of hadlokas ner chanuk, for the mitzvah of ner chanuk is mishetishka chama, from sunset, ad shetichla regel minashuk, until the last person would, the latest walkers in the shuk will pass by. So that's a very specific amount of time. And from the fact that it says in the Braisa Misha Tishka, from time X until time Y, the implication is, my love, that it has to be lit during the entire time, which we said was Ner Daluk. It's not enough to light the candle in that period of time, but it has to be lit for that period of time, Dikov Sahadar Madlikla. And therefore it means that if it goes out, he has to rekindle it. And that would be a clear proof for Rav Huna. If we go back to Rav Huna, who disqualifies these inferior oils and wicks for Ner Chanukah, and the Gemara said, Rava, my time with Rav Huna, this is on the bottom of Chafal from an Aleph, Kavsa Zakuk law, this price seems to be a clear-cut proof to support Rav Huna, the way Rav explained it, that Kavsa Zakuk law, which means that it's got to be lit for that period of time. So Gemara says, low. That's not the right interpretation of the Braisa. The Braisa is not giving you a shear of Zman that it has to be lit and establishing the principle or the requirement of Ner Daluk, but rather, Dilo Adlik Madlik. This is the time period within which you have an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, to be Mefarsim the Nes, which means that if you didn't light the Ner Chanukah immediately at Shkia, which is the Lechatchila, the right, the proper time for the mitzvah, then Madlik, he can be Madlik as long as he's within these bookends, this period of time that ends with Tichla Regel Min Ashuk. Once Tichla Regel Min Ashuk passes by and it's too late, and when I say passes by, pardon the pun, is Hifsid is a mitzvah, he forfeits the mitzvah. Inami, the Gemara offers a second interpretation of this brayse of Misha Tishka Chama Ad Shetichla Regel Min Ashuk Lishiura. How much shemen are you required to put, what's the minimum shear of oil that you're required for the Ner Chanukah? And it has to be a shear of oil that can last from Shki until Tichla Regem and Ashuk. But let's say he put in that shear, so he has the minimum amount of oil that's necessary for the mitzvah. If the candle goes out within that Zman, Eino Chayev Lachzor Ladlika, he doesn't have to rekindle the light. Why? Because we're holding Kavsa Ein Zakik La. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maschil De'ilo Adlik Madlik, Aval V'kan V'elich Over Azman. Tosfos maintains that after Tichla Regem Neshuk, that's it, Over Azman. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Then he quotes the Ri Parat, who says, Yesh li zor lahadlik b'layla miyad. One should be very meticulous and careful to light the Ner Chanukah immediately, not later. However, im icher b'di'evit, if he did light it a little later, then yadlik misafek. Then he should light it because of Mishani Shinu Lachrina, the second answer, right? The second answer of the Gemara. No, I'm sorry. Let's go back to the first answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says that this is a period of time within which he has to light the candle. And then the Gemara gives a second answer, l'shi'ura. So it could be that if he has the shear, according to the second opinion, the second answer of the Gemara, he could be yotzi even after the period of time of mishatichla regel menashuk. According to the first answer, clearly, avar zmano batel karbano is batel the mitzvah. But according to the second answer, it could be that even after tichla regel menashuk, he could be yotzi the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the condition would be that he put in enough oil in the candle. Ulurina di ata ein lachush masa yadlik de anu ein lano akira el bnei abayishari madlikim bifnim. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that mishas had lach of mishas sakana vielach, that once it was sakana to light the Ner Chanukah, they established that it's possible to light the Ner Chanukah on the inside of the house, even though the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah would be mipesach beisom v'bachutz outside, but after a certain period of time in Jewish history, they established that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah could be fulfilled inside the house. And Tosfos quotes the Ri that our minhag is to light inside the house, so there's no hekker to the bnei abayis, except for the bnei abayis. That's the only hekkers for the members of the household, not for the public. And therefore, we no longer have this halach of hachitichla regel menashuk. So it comes out that in some, we could say that according to Tosfos, we would try, if all things are equal, to light immediately after shkia. However, if he lit late and it was after Tichla Regel Menashuk, for two reasons he would light Ner Chanukah. According to the first reason, it's because of the suffix. We don't know which of the two answers of the Gemara are accepted la'alacha, which of the two is accepted. If we accept the first answer, then it's meaningless to light after Tichla Regel Menashuk. If we accept, however, the second answer of the Gemara, then as long as you have the shear of oil for the Ner Chanukah, then you're not limited by Achatikla Regel Mashuk. Again, if you go with that reasoning, I think you'd have to leave out the bracha because of something brachas lahakil. But then Tosfos offers another explanation as to why we would light after Tikla Regel Mashuk, because in our time, the hekera of the Ner Chanukah is for the Bnei Abayis, not for the Shuk. So this requirement of Achatikla doesn't apply in our form, our method of Ner Chanukah. Now the Gemara wants to explain a little bit more about this shear that was mentioned in the Braisa, Shetichla Regel Menashuk Ad Kama. Okay, who is the last person to be in the Shuk? How do we gauge, or what's the barometer to gauge this shear? Amar Rabba Baruch Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Dechalya Rigla De Tarmadoi. So there is a group of people. Rashi seems to assume it's an ummah. It's some sort of nation, maybe non-Jews. They are called the Tarmadoi. They came from that area. And these are the last people in the Shuk. Why? Because they were in charge of, or their business, shall we say, was selling wood for fire. Eitzim dakim la'asaka, the small cut logs or pieces of wood that people would need in order to feed their fire. they would remain in the shuk for the longest period of time, even after people went home, because they thought that maybe people would go home at the end of the day when it got dark out, and they would realize they're short on fuel for their fires. So they would supply the fuel for the fires. These were the last people. When they packed out, you could be sure that no one else is going to be in the shuk. That's tichle regel min hashuk. I once heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that he was medayik from this Rashi, that Rashi says that the Talmidoi is the name of a nation. Shema Uma, Rashi says, that there's Pirsim HaNes even in front of the Goyim. I'm not sure if you have to conclude that based on Rashi, but it certainly is a radical conclusion if you learn that Rashi in that way, that the Pirsim HaNes could be achieved in front of the Talmidoi. I thought maybe Rashi meant that maybe there are Jewish people who are buying from the Talmidoi. And as long as the Talmidoi are in the shuk, then we might expect that there might be Jews in the shuk who are buying from these Talmidoi. Now, one other point that we want to add over here is that the people have left the shuk, and the Talmidoi are waiting to see if anyone else would come by and buy from them. When they realize that they're short on wood, once these Talmidoi pack out, we assume there's no one in the shuk. But the Ritva adds here that the time in which the Talmidoi pack out of the shuk, that was set up as the sof zman for hadlokas ner Chanukah, and he says that that could be relative and it could change from place to place. The Gemara is not giving an absolute, you know, look at the clock and establish when is the latest time for ner Chanukah. It would change, and it would be a function that's relative to each place, called Mokom Mokom Nikba Hazman Lefia Mokom. So, for example, it could be that there are oil sellers and so forth that leave the shuk even later than the Talmidoi. The Rif and the Rush, on the other hand, write that this is Shir Kavua B'chol Mokom, which is a half hour after nightfall. And according to the Ritva, if we rely on the Ritva, we can really expand the latest mitzvah from the Chanukah in our time in contemporary life. The story is told about the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav said, when is the last movie, you know, show that appears? Because that's when the masses of people will come out after the end of the last movie theater. I think there was a movie theater in Yerushalayim called Eden, if I'm not mistaken. Then it became a hotel later on. Tora Rabbanon, we learned it in a braisa. And now we're talking about different levels, perhaps, of the Kiyum Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeso. So that's the basic level, the bottom barrel level, that a person is madlik one Ner on each night of Chanukah for himself and for the people in his family. And the Pnei Yeshua is famous for saying that Ish Ubeso is a very unique definition that applies to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in a very special way. And it means that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not a personal chiyuv on each individual, but rather it's a chovas bias, like mezuzah, that the bias has to be equipped with a mezuzah, the bias has to be equipped likewise with a Ner Chanukah. Perhaps the same thing would apply to Ner Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua has a diyun. He wants to know, why did Chachamim establish this mitzvah as a mitzvah on the bias, Ner Ish Ubeso? And he has a discussion about this, and many Achronim address this issue. Now we get to the Mahadran. This is an upgraded level of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah for the Mahadran. It could be the Mahadran refers to a group of people that are Mahazrin Achra Mitzvahs. They try their best, and that's what Rashi seems to imply, to do the mitzvahs in the most mahuder way. Tosfos, on the other hand, seems to interpret that Mahadran means Hidur. These are cases in which for this particular mitzvah, at this particular time, you want to be mahadar and be mekayim the mitzvah behidur. It's not a description of a group of people, you know, the profile of which, you know, on their CV it says, oh, they belong to the mahadrin. But it's anyone who wants to be mekayim the mitzvah of ner chanukah behidur, which is zekeh v'miyam veyu, is ner l'chol echad v'echad. It's not enough that he lights one ner for the entire bayis, but he should add an extra ner for every one of the bnei bayis. And here the Rambam is very, very famous for writing that mahadar sabitz madlik neros kiminyan I anshei habayis ner l'chol echad v'echad. So again, the Rambam is saying that madlik, there's only one madlik. It's not necessary for each person to individually involve himself in the act of hadlaka, in the act of lighting, but rather one person remains the madlik. Just the question how many neros he should light, and the neros, the number of neros should reflect the number of people in the bayis. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, paskins that the mahadar means that each person should personally light the candle, which makes the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah not just a mitzvah of having a Ner Dolok, but it's also a mitzvah on the Mahajan level of what we call a Chovas HaGuf. And that was what the Hidur accomplished to, instead of vicariously fulfilling the mitzvah, says the Ramah, by being Yotze passively, but one person is Madlik, each person should be Madlik himself. The Ramah has only one Madlik for the entire bias. Now we get up to the highest level, that's called the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, those who want to do the mitzvah in the most perfect way. And again, we've never seen, you know, this level of Hidur mitzvah with regard to other mitzvahs. This is very unique to Ner Chanukah, that there's a separate takon of so many different madregos of Hidur. And perhaps this has to do with the fact that Tumu Huchu Mitzivah, that the time of the Chashmonoim, in fact, they didn't have to look for Shemen Tohar. They could have been Mekayim the mitzvah with Shemen Tameh if the Yevonim were Metameh all the oils. But perhaps the miracle of Hashem came about because of Hidur mitzvah, because the Chashmonoim wanted to make sure that they would light with Ner Tohar. And they found only one pach of Shemen. So it's all their will and their craving desire to fulfill the mitzvah of Hidur that brought about ultimately the Nes that they found the Pach HaShemen and it lasted for 8 days. Alternatively, you could say that when they found the Pach HaShemen, they could have been Mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Sheva Migdash with very, very thin wicks, which are called Psilos Dakos. And Psilos Dakos, which would draw the oil, maybe they would draw the oil 1/8 of the amount of oil that they normally would use. But they want to be Mekayim the mitzvah there, Hamenorosh and Hamigdosh, with a Hidur, and therefore they used really beautiful wicks that would last only 1/8 of that time. So it really was only enough for one night. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this miracle. So the miracle came about through Hidur, through a great mitzvah of Hidur, and therefore Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah reflects itself in the takon of Hidur, not only Mahadrin of Ner Ish L'chol Echad V'Echad, but also Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, which is going to mean that we light Keneged the Yomim. Now when we light Keneged the Yomim, the Braisa here quotes the Machlok between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona Mikan V'Elot Pocheis V'Holech. So he starts with 8, then he goes down. And Beis Hillel say Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan V'Elot Mosif V'Holech. We go up. And the Gemara is going to offer different explanations for Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai and the nature of this Machlokas. But one thing we could certainly say that according to Beit Shammai, when you start with 8 candles, you're already anticipating the miracle, which is really interesting. It means the miracle is going to last for 8 days. Hence, it's meaningful to light 8 candles on the first day. On the first day, they didn't really have any idea, an inkling that this miracle would happen, and the Pach HaShemen that would last for one night would last for fully 8 nights. But the Takana of Ner Chanukah, according to Beit Shammai, seems to take into consideration that we already anticipate on the first night of Chanukah the mitness of eight nights of Chanukah. Now we've already mentioned the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramah about Mahadrin, where the Rambam holds that there's one madlik, and the Ramah says each person should be madlik himself. We also have a machlokes to introduce here between the Rambam and Tosfos about Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. According to the Rambam, in Perek Dalet Milchas Chanukah, the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is built on the Mahadrin. So in other words, the Mahadrin have the number of candles that reflect the number of people in the house, and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin will light, let's say, according to Beis Hillel, Mosif HaHolech, they'll light additional candles on each night, and that'll be for each one of the Bnei Abayis. So the Rambam, for example, if he has eight people in the, let's say he has 10 people in the household, then you'll start with 10 candles on the first night, and you'll be mekayim both, let's say for example, one person is in the household, on the first night, according to the Rambam, he's going to light one candle, and the second night he'll light two candles. On the other hand, if there are two people in the household, then on the first night he'll light two candles, on the second night he'll light four candles, which would mean that on the eighth night he's going to light 80 candles. Tosfos, on the other hand, rejects this without mentioning the Rambam, and he says that it's impossible to be mekayim both the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin and the Mahadrin at the same time, because once you're adding candles keneged the Anshei Bnei Abayis, which is the Mahadrin, then you're going to forfeit the mitzvah Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin when you increase the number of candles with each night, because no one's going to be able to figure out how many Bnei Abayis you have. Right, because you're reflecting the number of candles that reflect the number of days of the Nes, of the Chanukah. So therefore it comes out, according to Tosfos Shita, that the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin will only go back to the Ner Ishu Beso. They'll drop the Mahadrin in favor of the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. So just to read quickly the language of Tosfos here, Dira Masa Mahajim Mina Mahajim, he says, Nira Luri, Tebe Chami Beisillo, Kaimi Ela Aner Ishu Beso. They're going back to the Iker, base bottom Chiyuv of Ner Chanukah. And Ken Yesh Yoser Hidur, De Ika Kerik Shemosif Aholich. So in other words, they prefer the Mahajim Mina Mahajim, even if it means forfeiting the Mahajim. Because, as Tosfos in the name of the Ri, Aval im osa ner l'chol echad, if you're being mekayim the Mahadrin of ner l'chol echad, then afili Yosef mikan v'yelech leka akera. Even if you add candles with each progressive night, you're not going to have the akera, because the onlooker gets the impression that that number of candles is not reflective of the number of days of Chanukah, but rather the number of people in the Bnei Abayis. So you're going to have to drop the Mahadrin of Ner L'Cholech of the Echad if you want to be Mekayim the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin of Mosif HaHolech. Omar Ula, Pligi Batreitan Amoroi B'Marova. We have a Machlokas Amoroi in Eretz Yisrael as to how to understand the Shita of Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yossi Barov and Rabbi Yossi Barav Zvi, these are two Shitos. Chanom, according to one opinion, time in the Beit Shammai, Keneged Yomim HaNichnosim, that Beit Shammai recommend, or shall I say, they accept the Shita of Poches V'Holech, they start with 8 and go down, because of Keneged Yomim HaNichnosim. As we said before, we're already anticipating how many days we'll have in Chanukah. So we start with 8. Time of the Beis Hillel, Keneged Yomim HaYotzim. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, want to not anticipate from the get-go how many days of Chanukah we have, but rather build up. First night 1, second night 2. V'chad Omer, but the other explanation of this machlokus is Time of the Beis Shammai, Keneged Pari HaChag. That we made a a parallel between the mitzvah of Derech Hanukkah and the mitzvah of Chagas Sukkos of Purim. And the mitzvah of Chagas Sukkos of Purim, the cows, the bulls that were brought as karbonos on Sukkos was Poches V'Holech. This is the Musaf, karbon of Musa, of Sukkos. And it's a very unique, in the constellation of karbonos Musaf that apply to other Yom Tovim, in Sukkos we have a very unique mitzvah, and that's called Polches V'Holech. Now there were 70 cows all told that were brought as karbonos Musaf during the 7 days of Chanukah, and that parallels the Shivim Umos HaOlam. And on the first day of Sukkos, they would be makriv 13 parim, on the second day 12 parim, etc., etc. On the seventh day they were makriv 7 parim. This is all codified by the Torah itself in Parshas Pinchas and Bamidbar Choftes. Now the question is, why would we pattern the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as a reflected image of the mitzvah of Pariah Chag and Sukkos? What's the connection between Chanukah and Sukkos over here? So Bli Neder will try to talk about that. But in any event, that's the second possible shita in how to understand Beit Shan. V'tam v'beisil ma'ilin b'kodesh v'ein moridin. That according to Beis Hillel, we have a general rule in all mitzvahs that we build up. We don't go down in the mitzvah. So you can start with 8 and go down to 7. That's not acceptable. Now, is there enough gemina between these two approaches to understanding the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? Let's say, for example, on the third night of Chanukah, he has enough oil only for 2 candles. If we hold that according to Beis Hillel, it's connected to Yom HaYotzim, then there's no point to adding the second candle on the third night. But if you're talking about of Maila B'Kodesh, then you don't want to aim Morida B'Kodesh, you don't want to go down from, let's say, the second night you lit 2 candles, and now on the third night you're going to light 1 candle, at least maintain the number of candles that you had before, so you get some extra Hidur Mitzvah by lighting the second candle. That's if you hold Maila B'Kodesh V'ein Moridin. So he would definitely light 2 candles on the second night, even though he's not being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Keneged Yom HaYotzim. But he is, to some extent, fulfilling the requirement of Maila B'Kodesh V'ein Moridin. Now the Gemara in Masechta Menachos derives from Psukim in the Torah this principle of Maila B'Kodesh V'ein Moridin. And that's the Sugi Menachos Daf Tzadites. Now Beit Shammai in general does accept this principle of Maila B'Kodesh V'ein Moridin B'Kodesh because it's derived from the Torah, but nevertheless he would prefer to derive from Pariah Chag that in this case of Ner Chanukah, there's a special reason why we are Morid B'Kodesh. And we do this because of the Korbanos of Chag, of Chag HaSukkos, where the Yerida, the number of Parim, where it diminishes, it goes down in number, that symbolizes that the Umos HaOlam go down, those nations that are adversaries and fight against the Jewish people, they should go down in number. They should get weaker and weaker with the passage of time. And in Ner Chanukah, we're also going to go down in the number of candles according to Beit Shammai because we want to publicize the miracle that instead of the entire Pach going up in smoke and being consumed on the first night, it was only 1/8 of the amount of Shemen that went up. And maybe that's also, in a sense, Keneged Umos HaOlam HaMisnagdim LaShem LeTorasu HaShem SheYicholshu BaDrega, they should go be Poches, Holches, Poches. And here we're fighting against the Yevonim, and we should be Zochav, that they should be Poches, these enemies, the Jewish people, should be Holchim VePoches. Now the second explanation the Gemara wants to support, Omar Rabba Bar Bachanu Rab Yochanan Shnei Zkenim Hayu B'Tzidon, There were two scholars, elderly scholars, in the city of Sidon. Echad me asa ki Beit Shammai, v'echad asa ki Beis Hillel. So one fulfilled the Mahajim and Mahajim like Beit Shammai, Holech v'Poches, and the other like Beis Hillel, Keneged Hayomim, Hayotzim, which is mostly for Holech. Zeno Saint Tam Lidvarov, Vizeno Saint Tam Lidvarov. Each one gave an explanation. One said, Keneged Porei Achag, that we have Poches v'Holech, like the second interpretation of Beit Shammai, Keneged Porei Achag, Vizeno Saint Tam Lidvarov. The other one explained, Mailin B'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin. So this supports the second explanation that was often in the Gemara. And now we're up to Tanur Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Anicha, Al Pesach Beso, Mibachutz. The Gemara now is going to analyze where exactly he should put the Ner Chanukah. And that's called Al Pesach Beso, Mibachutz. Obviously, Pesach Beso is going to expand the Pirsum HaNes, because people will pass by, they'll see the Ner on the outside. And Rashi points out that at the time of the Talmud, it was very common for people to establish the houses around the courtyard. The courtyard was a common courtyard for all the Batim. So the Batim would open up into that courtyard, and they would go into the courtyard from the Rishus HaRabim through this, enter from the Rishus HaRabim into this chotzer, into the batim, and you could maximize the Pirsum HaNes by putting the Ner at the Pesach HaBayis. Because anyone who went into the chotzer would see the various candles of the various homes that spilled into this common courtyard. Then the Gemara says, Imdar Baliyah, but let's say he lives on a higher floor, and he cannot put it mipesach beso, because you have to walk up steps in order to get to his house. So where does he light the Ner Chanukah? Is meinicho b'chalon asmucha l'rishus harabim. Then he lights the candle at the window that turns towards the rabbin, always to maximize the number of people who will see the Ner Chanukah, and maximize therefore the Pirsum HaNes. When it's impossible to light the Ner Chanukah publicly because the Goyim might attack us, and this was the situation of the Jewish people during the period of the Persian exile, of what's called the Tkufas HaParsiim, because the Parsiim had a chok, they had a religious statute that on their holiday no one was allowed to light any sort of fire outside. It was only in their temples that they would allow for the lighting of these candles. So let's say that their holiday, which is called Yom Edyam or Yom Chagam, that would coincide with Chanukah, and then therefore it would be impossible for the Jewish people to light their Chanukah publicly. They'd have to light it privately inside the house. So that's called Menicha al Shulchano Vidayo, that he lights it on his table, and that's sufficient. Omar Rava, Rava says, what does it mean that he lights it on his candle, on his table, excuse me? Tzorech ner acheres, lishtamish li'ora. He should not benefit from the ner chanuk. He doesn't use the ner chanuk for a double purpose, put it on his table so he can see his food when he eats his meal, and at the same time use it as ner chanuk. No, he's got to designate a special Ner to allow him to benefit from the Ner. That extra Ner is not a Ner Chanukah. So he needs one Ner l'shtamish li'ora for his own personal purposes, and a separate Ner for Chanukah. And that seems to reflect the shita that we had earlier of also l'shtamish l'ner Chanukah. Because if he's mishtamish v'ner Chanukah, no one's going to realize, no one's going to appreciate that this is a Ner Mitzvah, Ner Chanukah. It looks like it's l'tzorkoka madlik, and it's lacking in the element of Heker, and there's no Heker that it's a Ner Chanukah. So he needs a Ner Acheres. This is our minhag of a Shamash, of a Shamash. And the Shamash is a Ner which doesn't have the status of a Ner Mitzvah. We're allowed to benefit from it. But we're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, because if we do so, it loses its element of Heker, and it's no longer Ner Mitzvah. And that seems to be Likuva. Now, if you hold Mutar L'shtamish Li'ora, then perhaps in the case of Shulchan, maybe there's a separate din that you need an extra Ner, L'tzorch Atzma, because he's lighting it on his table. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph brings the Me'iri, and they explain that if you put your Ner Chanukah Liyada Pesach, then you don't need an extra candle, because you don't use candles for yourself and put them Liyada Pesach, even if it's inside his house, but it's near the opening, his doorway to his house. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah writes that our minhag is to, in all cases, to add an extra candle. My Rebbe used to say that it's kedai to light the extra candle, the Ner Shabbos, first, because then when you light a second candle, it's more obvious that the lighting of the second candle is Litzarch Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Iika Madura, if he happens to have a bonfire, Lo Tzarch, he doesn't need an extra Ner, because then it's obvious that he's lighting a Ner for the sake of Ner Chanukah, for Ner Mitzvah. He already has plenty of light in the house. And therefore, one should really light some people tend to put out the lights, when they, shut the lights when they light the Ner Chanukah. It really should be the other way around. Turn on as many lights as you can in the house, and then it becomes more obvious, a heker, that you're lighting this Ner as a Ner Chanukah. The Iodam Chashuv, who, a person who doesn't generally use the light of a Madura, is therefore Afagav Deika Madura Tzorech Ner Acheres. He needs an extra Ner to be next to the Ner Chanukah, because otherwise it's not Nikar. Nobody really realizes that he's lighting the Ner Chanukah as a Ner Chanukah. He doesn't benefit from the Madura. He's an Adam Chashuv. And people, Adam Chashuv don't use this, dramatic bonfire. So he needs a Ner Acheres. Okay, this is where we'll stop. We're up to the sugya now of my Chanukah. So let's make a cheshbon where we're up to exactly. There are two dots here. It's approximately, 15 lines up, a little bit less, from the bottom of the Amud on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, my Chanukah. That's when we'll pick it up tomorrow.